What's up, everybody? It's Friday, and it's Shiro Show. I'm Shattern Dave, and this is Traino Co. How's it going, man?
How's it doing? All right. Just hanging out, doing my hand wave thing, doing the hand thing.
I just realized that that rhymes. Shiro Show, Shattern Dave, Traino Co.
Now let's start the show.
Let's start the show. You've got a Snatcher shirt on, and I'm jealous.
I do have a Snatcher shirt on.
Can I snatch that shirt from you?
It's going Yeti. It's for sale.
Yeah. You're going to have to send me a link. You said your sister, you got it as like a gift or something?
Yeah, I told my sister, hey, get me the Snatcher shirt. And she
That's
did.
Awesome. Yeah, looks great.
Yeah.
It needs like a bullet hole That's in it cute. Though, right? No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, I could add one, but I don't think I think I'm going to take the shirt off when I add the bullet hole to it, just being honest.
Martin says that we look like we're on the same couch, which,
we are.
That's we're kind of the point. Now. No, we're not on the same couch, but that is like that's
technically we are.
That's the goal.
Our images and our webcams are pointed on an area that looks like a couch.
This is true.
So we are on the couch, even though we're not on the couch, but we are on the couch, but we're not.
I am.
It's a theoretical thought experiments, something about Schrodinger's couch.
Yeah. Hopefully this time works for more of you people out there. I think this is when it's going to be from now on. My work schedule was a little different last week, but moving forward, I think 2:30 works. We got the stamp of approval from Knight of Dragon, who said that he's off work, so he can like officially be in the chat and stuff like that.
He can troll us.
But yeah, so for all you guys, we were chatting up recently about the whole, you know, YouTube chasing the YouTube algorithm thing, and like how streaming can like be detrimental to your channel, and like it's ironic because that's pretty much what we do here. We pretty much almost exclusively stream, you know, and then of course Pat uploads all the VODs again. But I mean, streaming isn't going anywhere for us. We're going to be doing that with the Shiro Show, so you guys can certainly help us by subscribing and clicking the bell icon, and then sharing the channel with your friends, and then hopefully that way we can just beat that YouTube algorithm.
I thought that was a good segue. I like that.
Yeah. I was thinking about it in the shower as I do this, like a lot of something. Like, so you know, there's really nothing that we can do. I mean, as long as we continue to do Shiro Show, we're going to be streaming. It's just it's inevitable. So, you know, what you guys can do to help out is just help us share on social media. And you know, click the bell icon so that you know when we're going live and everything like that. And then you can also, when you see it, you can share it out with your friends or anybody you think who might like Sega Saturn or like us talking about Sega Saturn-y things.
Yeah, and I think it helps that that we're doing it where we put the VODs in another section, and then we have the we have like little clips of the show, so that way people can easily digest it and
absolutely
have eye catchers.
Yeah, and if they're not interested, if there's something they're not interested in or whatever, then they don't have to, you know, watch everything, but they can, you know, pick and choose what stories they're interested in. So totally agree. I'm just reading some of these chats, some of these comments. Anyway, let's kick off the news since we have, wow, look at this. We have a lot of news to talk about. So I'll let you kick it off because this was your stream.
My stream? This is my stream. You're right. No, you mean my article.
The article is your article about your stream. So go ahead. Or your video that you did. Yeah.
Video. All right. We're going to talk about DD Planet, which is a game that was actually I don't know exactly what it's called, the next version of or the spiritual successor of a Choo Choo Rocket, which is another online oriented game that was released on the Dreamcast right in the beginning of its lifespan. We can't really talk today, can we?
No, I like it. It's lifestyle.
Our lifestyle determines our death style, quoting the worst album I've ever heard in my life.
So what can you tell us about this game?
So basically, it is, I considered it to be like Worms more actively, but I think you consider it more like Death Tank and the tank games, I guess.
Well, that's because of the big arrow that it looked like, And I'm not knowledgeable. I watched your video. I have not played this yet, so crucify me if you will. But I noticed that when you would press to launch, you would kind of build up power and there would be like an arrow above your head, right?
Yeah.
That's just like Death Tank. That's just like the Death Tank games. And almost this game almost looked to me like a more like full realization of Death Tank.
Yeah, it pretty much was in that style. So basically lots of... you run on a platform, you control the power of your missiles, and you have different abilities. Like, you can do mines, bombs, you could do remote detonation, like multiple bombs. So there's different game modes. There's two game modes where it's like the classic worms, where you buy your weapons and then you have them on the side, or it's something like you choose your weapons and you battle. It's two different game modes, and it was stated to be released in 2001, but due to some networking issues on Sega's side, they couldn't get it working, and due to it being the end of the lifespan anyways, I guess they decided to pull the plug on DD Planet before it was even released, which is a big sadness, because it's completely done, minus the online features not working at all on it.
Right.
But I mean... It even has like, support for like Dream Passport and all this other stuff.
They could have embedded it in another game, right? Like as a just like they did Death Tank, you know, embedded it in another game to make it kind of like an unlockable feature or something like that.
I suppose it would have been nice if they added like Choo Choo Rocket, like some of the ports that they had for that. But
yeah.
Sadly, that was never realized, and I guess because it was mostly meant for like online play, like a quick online experience, they didn't really bother with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a sadness, really, because I think it was a lot of fun playing. It has a lot of cute charm of it, and the voices actually remind me of Ikaruga. If you listen to the things that had the voice samples, kind of remind me of Ikaruga a lot. But I don't know if maybe that's just a coincidence or technically Ikaruga, I think is that's by a different company. I was thinking Rez, but. It has that same vocal, the same vocal robot.
Exactly.
And,
it's like a vocoder or something like that. But you know what? Martin is saying like the Dreamcast community wants to get this thing online. I imagine that they could, at least on the emulator side of things, like through online emulators and then like tunneling the controller input or something like that. I'm not exactly sure how they would do it, but it seems like that's something doable. Now on the actual hardware, probably be more involved, but not impossible, you know? I always wonder though with those things, like how much of it can you hack the image and how much of it do you really need to like be able to like decompile and then like recompile the actual game to be able to add that kind of functionality?
I think one of the big things is it probably would have to take advantage of like action replay codes to switch the server destinations.
Right.
Or just buy the domain and control the servers yourself.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to really differentiate what you could do for that and different approaches. But I mean, it'd be kind of hard unless you know like the server side of it. It's almost going to be kind of impossible. But I've seen crazier things before, so it wouldn't surprise me if the Dreamcast is able to really get that going and get it online. But But major props to PC Wizard 13 who. Really, he in his whole article that the Dreamcast Junkyard put up, they put up his struggle with it, like during COVID and trying to get the games from another Japanese a gamer and get the information from that. So it was difficult times trying to get all that information, and the only visual of that was in the Dreamcast vault for the longest time. But now we finally have the image ripped and we can play it, and it was probably the least hassle we've gotten from a Dreamcast game in a little while.
Yeah, no kidding.
Definitely a lot easier than the Castlevania Resurrection situation.
Yeah, and by the way, Slowboy, yes. Martin Evans, who's also Slowboy in our Discord, I thought, you know, I was like 99% sure that was you, but I didn't want to like call you Slowboy if I was like wrong, because I'm actually looking at my phone and the icons are like super tiny. So anyway, shouts to Slowboy. I acknowledge. I know what your name in our Discord is. I just was playing it safe. But
if you want to download the image, it's fully available. You can download it from I think it's on Media. I forgot. It's
you linked it, right?
Mediafire or something. Yeah.
Yeah, you linked it
in the article.
In the article.
So, you can go download that. Follow PC Wizard on Twitter. Let them know that this is awesome that we got this game and. Throw it on your ODEs and play some DD Planet. Unfortunately, it doesn't have a CDI image yet, but just give it some time. I think they're working on that.
Yeah.
It's small enough, so it wouldn't surprise me if they were able to.
Do you use CDI images? Because I use GDI normally.
I use GDI, but it's for people that want to burn CDs.
Gotcha, yeah. Sorry, I've completely forgotten that side of things ever since I got a mode.
Yeah, I hear you. We have evolved.
Disc juggler. The wonderful world of disc juggler. Anyway, next up, we're going to talk Revolutionary Girl Utena. I can't tell you how long Peter's been, like, plugging away at this game and, like, then working on the article and then doing school on top of that. It's just crazy. Like, Peter's doing university and he's hitting the books hard. So, like, his time has been incredibly limited, but he managed to play through this game and write up a fantastic, I might say, like, the definitive article on this game. You want to know something about this game? What have you played it, Pat?
Yeah, of course. I even have a stream of it. Like the
I did
it about 2 years ago. A full it was a full anime playthrough. Stream. I can't remember what ending I got with it.
My God, he went whole hog here. I haven't had a chance to read his entire article, but I read enough of it, and it was like classic Peter, you know, just incredibly thorough. So go ahead. What can you tell us about the game and about his article?
All right. So Revolutionary Girl Utena is basically a game based off of the anime of the same name and I guess extension manga. I thought for the longest time this was a Clamp property, but apparently it's not Clamp. It was by a studio that kind of got inspiration from Clamp in some aspects. But it's a bit of a sadness. But Peter basically talks about in the article that. While the United States, we only got like a 1/5 of the library that Japan got. Mm-hmm. And this is a prime example of the stuff that we've missed, which is a dating sim. And basically, it's basically like a dating, visual novel game where you don't play exactly Utena, you play this girl. I can't remember what her name was or her affiliation. I haven't watched the anime that much, but you basically play as her. And you go through the events. It takes place between episodes 8 and 9, I think, of the anime.
Right.
So it's a short period. It's about 4 days, about a 4-day cycle where you basically are in the school. You meet up with Utena and all the other characters, and then you fight and you struggle against this protagonist, which is she's not in the anime. She actually is a new character for the game called Chigusu Sanjoin. I don't remember how to pronounce her name, but essentially this game is technically non-canon, but it's in that event of Utena the anime.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the anime follows Utena, which is she's the only girl that wears a male uniform in the academy, and it basically Utena is a whole thing where it crossed the boundaries of sort of the norms, gender norms, basically LGBT undertones and themes to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very progressive for its time, especially in the 90s where we got some pretty bad really LGBT representation and stuff of that nature in anime, which is a bit sad at the time. So
right.
A lot of erasure stuff, but this one's full force, Full Forces and Pony Punches, and it's a really good anime. I really enjoyed it from what I've watched of it.
Mm.
But the game's the 4 cycles. You can get several different endings depending on your loyalties that you have. So depending on what loyalties you have built up, you'll get different endings or interact with different characters. Like one ending is that that Utena dies in the battle with Chigusa and her fencing club.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely a couple different themes. It wasn't as popular in the United States, but it's still pretty heavily inspired and very famous among people that are big into anime.
Mm-hmm. And it is especially a dating, like full-fledged dating sim, as well as a RPG, right?
Yeah, in some natures, it's kind of weird. It's sort of like a semi-dating sim.
Oh, so semi, okay.
Hang out with people. It's kind of weird how to consider it. It's not like you go out and you marry people, but there's definitely situations you can get into, and you could probably see that in my live stream of it I did 2 years ago, I believe.
The anime stream. Yeah, that was already like 2018, maybe 2019.
I was in my new house.
So talk about who brought us this game via English translation.
It was a small, really a small translation team that, I don't know, Peter didn't really mention much about them, or I couldn't find any info on them, but around 2015, about five people sort of went together and translated and patched this game, and that was the last, there was the first and the last patch in September 2015. Mm. The only things that aren't translated is the names of the characters, so if you scroll down to... where they're talking about that, you can see like the journals aren't some of the journals and the lyric books aren't translated, and some of the names of the characters are not translated because mostly because they're probably image files.
Right.
So that's really the only thing that wasn't translated per se. So, but it's a fully it's pretty much fully translated. So if you want to play it, you can enjoy it and see the craziness of the game because it can get pretty insane for sure.
I like Peter's taglines. Tighten your bras, gamers. We're going in.
Yeah.
His headlines.
Definitely. Yeah. Peter is a wonder with words, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah. Sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, no. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, it's amazing what he did with this article.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he always gives his Shiro challenges, which I really like. So if it wasn't enough to just go play the game, you know, he'll always give you like some things that you might want to do in the game. You know, the game sounds even remotely interesting, fascinating. You might consider doing yourself a favor and watching the anime first. So that's like the first thing. Both subbed or dubbed versions can be found on YouTube. And by doing that, you'll definitely immerse yourself and give yourself more context when it comes to like playing the game. He mentioned that a couple times, that watching the anime definitely enhanced his enjoyment of the game and his understanding of like all the characters and what's going on, you know, because if you're just jumping into this like as a import Japanese game, you have no idea, you're not like invested in these characters, it might just be a little harder to get going with it. Whereas if you watch like Pat said, watch the anime, you can just like get right into it, you know.
Yeah, and there's a lot of cool stuff that comes with the game as well, like if you buy it. So
Multiple endings.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, but I was looking at that. I jumped ahead a little bit. But yeah, no, it's worth watching the anime. You don't exactly have to watch it, but you'd be less confused if you did. Because when I did that playthrough in 19 or 18, I didn't know what was going on, so I was confused. So maybe if I watch the anime, I'd be like, oh, I know these characters. I know what's going to happen.
Right. Extra badges to collect aside from the initial ones. So, you know, some to unlock. And then once you've watched the anime, read the manga, and play through the Saturn game, go out there and bring the world revolution. Peter. Yes. He's classic sentimental. Anyway, so thank you. Thank you, Peter, for writing this amazing article. I don't know how. Wow, it keeps going. I don't know how you did this while you're doing, you know, university and everything else, you know. So it's just amazing. And, you know, Peter has apologized that his output is not as much as it used to be. But you know that whenever he does anything, he does it all the way, you know. And so his articles are just certainly some of the best reading online, not to mention, you know, Saturn related stuff. So go out and check out this article for sure.
Yeah, and play the game. It's a lot of fun, and I think you'd really enjoy that.
I really want to. I mean, I want to play some of these games so much, but I'm like, I really need to find a good chunk of time so that I can, you know. That's why
you can, you can beat that in about an hour or so. That playthrough, I think I did two playthroughs of it.
And you beat the entire thing in an hour? Reading all the dialogue?
Yeah. Well, not reading all of it, like 100%ing it, but I beat the game. Like, I got the two different endings, I believe.
Okay, you must be, like, either really familiar with it or speed reading. Because, like, with me, I, like, take those things so slow. But so there's no, like, battling or anything like that. It's just mostly visual novel, right?
Pretty much.
Cool. All right. Well, yeah, now I, you know, even more reason to check it out. If it's like that and I could get through it in like an hour or 2 hours, then again, I might just go watch Pat's stream. You know, I didn't realize you had finished it in that stream, so I might go check that out.
Yeah, I think I need to change the title because it's just part one. I guess I assumed I was playing more of it and I never changed the title back, so I'll have to go fix that.
Oh, you know what? Before I do this, I got called out on forgetting The recent Galactic Attack versus Darius Gaiden poll that I put up, you know, I kind of forgot to talk about it last week, so I apologize to folks who voted and then like we didn't end up talking about it. But pretty much like Pat and I kind of summed up when we talked about the original post was that we feel that Galactic Attack is overall a more solid game. It is like the vertical shooter of the bunch, and it does have like this sky to ground mechanic with targets, lock on targets, and it's a little easier, I think, than Darius Gaiden, which just kicks your butt, you know. So that's the way most people felt. We had 65 votes and 55.4% favored Galactic Attack. So wasn't a landslide. It was close. So obviously there are feelings about this on both sides, but it ended up going Galactic Attack both on Twitter and on Facebook. So wanted to just mention that before I move on to the next poll that we just had, which was Gex versus Rayman.
Yeah, they made the good choice on that one. Galactic Attack is way better.
I agree. That was my personal choice too. I like Darius Gaiden, and I know Nick loves Darius games, but I do personally feel like Galactic Attack is like the better shooter. And I mean, you know, those are the two shooters that folks in the US got. Like, if they weren't importing, those are the two that they got domestically published by Acclaim. So good Taito shooters. You can't go wrong with either of them. Then we got Gex and Rayman. Did you say you haven't played either of these?
No, I played Rayman.
You played Rayman, but you haven't played Gex, right?
No.
Okay. And I really think you'd enjoy Gex. I do. You know, the platforming is solid. You got the wisecracks from Dana Gould. You've got different levels, which have different themes, and you have to, like, collect these remotes, you know, to put them in the and you save your game by finding these VHS tapes and putting them in the VCR. It's kind of fun, you know. I personally like Gex because I've got nostalgia for it, and I feel like it's the more fun game. But I do feel like Rayman is kind of like the correct answer in terms of like what's universally accepted, I guess, as the answer. And I mean, most people agree, because 90 out of 95 votes in just 3 days, you have like 61% going with Rayman over
they made the right choice.
Yeah, 38.9, like around 40%. So it's like 60-40, most people favoring Rayman.
I just think Rayman's. Yeah. I think it's the most beautiful out of both of them. I think Gex looks all right, but I think Rayman just looks so beautiful, and
it is beautiful. I mean, yeah.
To be fair, though, it might have even more development time, because wasn't it supposed to be on the SNES back in the day?
And it was. Yeah. There was a they really. I mean, and Rayman games are already like known for being multi-platform, you know, to an extensive degree. Like I mean, the Rayman 2 was like on so many different platforms. But yeah, no, it's definitely, it is the game that Ubisoft was built on, you know. It's kind of like the game that made them what they are, whereas like Crystal Dynamics was doing a lot of weird stuff. They did a lot of like full motion video stuff. They did you know, the Slam and Jam games. They did a lot of different stuff, and I mean, not all of it was like the same quality, but definitely Gex was kind of like their flagship game, and almost, you know, they packaged it at one point with 3DOs, you know, to sell the 3DO. So it was definitely a good game. But yeah, I think most people will agree at the end of the day that Rayman is the better game, objectively better game. Gex is just my it's just my favorite. You know, I like Gex a lot.
Yeah, but they have bad taste, so I mean.
But I have bad taste.
No, I'm just joking.
Yeah.
I'm just joking. I really like the look of it from what I've seen gameplay of, so I think it'd probably be right up my alley, so I definitely want to try it.
Mm-hmm. I think you'd enjoy it. It's a solid platformer. There's really not anything bad I can say about it. I guess I just can't argue that it's better, objectively better than Rayman.
But here's the bigger thing. What's better, Gex 3D or Rayman 2?
Gex 3D or Rayman 2? Rayman 2. Rayman 2 is phenomenal. Gex 3D is, Enter the Gecko is fun, but it's forgettable, probably. This is another one of those, like, fetch quest, you know? It's kind of one of those fetch quest platformers where I think Rayman 2 is just much more story to it and everything, you know?
Night of Dragons having a conflict. He doesn't like I'm saying SNES.
SNES, okay.
SNES. There's like 12 things: SNES, SNES, Super Nintendo, Super NES. The second Nintendo console that was 16-bit.
Yeah.
So and sounded like that.
But yeah, you know, I mean, folks are entitled to their own opinion. I just personally, if I'm pulling it off the shelf, I'm gonna play Gex more than I would Rayman. I don't even remember.
I thought you were going to say that so people can have their personal opinions, but Gex is objectively better. Yeah,
Also, I don't know if Rayman has saves, and I know Gex has saves. At least on the 3DO, it does. Mm. On the Saturn, I think they ditched the saves for a password system, which kind of sucks. I don't know why they do that. When they have saves, they take it. I don't know. Anyway, but either way, you know, they're both great games, and it looks better on the 3DO because the colors are better. But it runs better on the Saturn because the frame rate is better. So and you have the Saturn D-pad. So anyway, moving on to Xenocrisis. I'm going to let you take this one. Actually, I'm going to let you talk about it for a second, and I just have to pop out for a second so I can go deal with something that's going on in the background. Yes.
Uh-oh, stuff's on fire. Dave has to put it out.
Just start talking, and I will be right back in this chair. All right? So we've got Xenocrisis here.
Xenocrisis,
sorry.
Xeno.
All right, I'll be right back.
All right, you go do that. I'm gonna wait so I can cut him. Well, not cut him out. Like, okay, he's gone now. So now article time. All right. So why don't we talk about Xenocrisis, which is a independent game by Bitmap Bureau. It originally was meant, I think it was meant for the Neo Geo only and PC, but then they did a port for Dreamcast and Genesis, and. Apparently, somebody liked it so much they decided to port it on the Sega Saturn. So essentially, an anonymous Sega Extreme user that wanted to remain anonymous, put together a one-level port of Xenocrisis on the Sega Saturn, like a homebrew port. None of this was official. This was all basically his doing. There's no really no support from Bitmap Bureau. It's something he wanted to do for fun because he enjoyed it.
Cool.
Basically, most of the sprites and sound effects have been implemented to a point. There's still a few sound effects that are missing in enemies, but it's mostly a proof of concept. There's no boss, so at the end of it, you just get soft locked in a room, so you kind of get stuck. But yeah, it's really fun. Apparently, people said I'm bad at the game, which is true because I'm pretty awful at that sort of type of game.
But to be fair, to defend Pat, though, like, this game would be a lot easier with dual sticks, you know? And instead, they're using the A, B, and then X, Y buttons, right? To shoot up, down, left, right. Am I not right? Like, that's how they were doing it. And
yeah, they were, but to be fair, though, this was a proof of concept demo, so yeah. I didn't really fault them for it. Like it's hard to like, the thing is that I could give it criticism for this and that, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's a proof of concept, but it was a great one. Like, the port was amazing. It was a lot of fun, and literally I enjoyed it so much I felt guilty that I went out and bought a Xenocrisis on the Dreamcast and have been playing it ever since.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is I'm defending you for not playing it well on the Saturn, because I found it kind of weird too. Like, I've played it on the Dreamcast. The Dreamcast buttons, the colored buttons, you have like an up, a down, and a left and a right, like a proper up, down, left, right, so that it feels a lot more natural. Whereas on the Saturn, the way it's mapped out, they're not really cardinal directions. It's like a box. It's like a square box. And I thought, okay, if they did Y on top and then they did B for down and then A for left and C for right, that probably would have made more sense. But again, like you said, just a proof of concept. It's a demo, so it's not like, you know, a big deal. Anyway, I didn't think you were that bad at it, actually. I saw your video and I thought you did fine. So
yeah, I mean, the thing was just I wanted to look around and search the area. I didn't really meant to be expert gameplay. This wasn't a speed run of the game, even though technically it is the fastest somebody's played the game for that system. So I am the speed run champion for it for the time being, until another port comes along and people play it some more, and then they'll beat me at it. But
right.
The thing is that it's just a fun little demo that was really well designed, and I really hope they reach out. And it was using the Geo engine as well. So, I mean, that's amazing and it's in itself. So I would recommend that if people have the time, or if they can find it, definitely try it out if they can. I know they want to keep it sort of hush-hush because I guess they don't want to step on Bitmap Bureau's toes. But
yeah,
I kind of think that I like the idea of them seeing it. Maybe they get intrigued by it. Maybe have him do the rest of the game or hire him on to do that. Or maybe even implement that themselves and see there's an audience in demand for that.
Yeah.
Because it was a really fun game, and I really enjoyed the gameplay of it to the point where I actually bought it. So,
like you said, we can't share it out just because that could affect their sales, Bitmap Bureau. But I mean, it might have been shared in the Sega Extreme Discord. I don't know. I'm not saying that it was or anything like that, but maybe just use the search function or something like that.
Yeah, no, but in serious note, I definitely think if you really are going to search out to play it, definitely kick get the Dreamcast version or whatever version you prefer on Bitmap Bureau on their website. The link to buy it is in the article. It's 15 pounds, so about $20 for the ISO of it. So if you want to burn the disc or put it on a GDI, or sorry, a ODE, you can do that. I bought the physical edition because I'm crazy like that. But yeah, definitely kick them some money. It's $20 for such a fun game. So I mean, why not?
And by the way,
supporting a great company.
Yeah, the music on the Dreamcast and Saturn version just is awesome. Like, I mean, I love the I love this the Genesis or Mega Drive chiptunes, you know, versions of it. And even the AES, you know, I've seen the Neo Geo port kind of being worked on and stuff. But I mean, like, nothing beats like the Dreamcast or even the Saturn. Like, the way that the audio came over on the Saturn is awesome. So it's really, really awesome music. And you know what? I wanted to acknowledge or speak to what Slowboy was saying about Sega giving away Nights into Dreams. They do that periodically, it seems like, on Steam. So I think on Steam they're giving away Nights into Dreams for a limited time. You guys should get on that. And then over on Epic Games, they're giving away Sonic Mania for free until like June 29th, I think. So Sonic Mania and that other game that's kind of like Outrun. What's the I can't remember the name of the title, but it's like
Hotshot Racing.
Yeah, you can pick between one of those for a free game from Epic. So if you have an Epic Games account, or if you don't, you can open one. I think they're trying to like compete with each other a little bit. You know, Steam and Epic, because they're both trying to give away like Sega properties. You know.
Yeah, I think it's really good though. But if you want to play one of those and you haven't picked up Knights, definitely recommend it. I don't know how well the PC port plays versus the Saturn one at all. But from what I've understood, it's pretty decent, pretty good.
It's decent. I guess my thoughts, and again, I haven't played it for a while, so maybe like the new Steam version could have worked this out. But it seems like when you are using the analog controller, and even though you're doing smooth circles with either the Xbox 360 controller or like the Xbox One controller, Knights still moves almost like in cardinal directions. Like, it's a little boxy, you know, instead of doing like a perfect circle for a paraloop, he does kind of like a square circle paraloop. And it's really, you know, it messes up with your timing and stuff like that. I don't know why, but Knights with the original 3D analog controller, there's nothing more fluid and one-to-one feeling than that. Using that analog controller, it just feels like a one-to-one. Nothing like it that I've ever played. And I've played a lot of Knights, like, on different platforms. But anyway, I still think it's worth picking up so you have it. It's free, so everybody should go get it.
You can't beat free.
Yeah, Trekkie says they also screwed up the frame rate. Sorry for clipping my mic there. I said yeah, but you can't beat free though, so you might as well just add it to your Steam library so you have it, because it's, you know, then they put it in the vault and it'll probably be in the couple years until they offer it for free again. Next, a lot of these articles are stuff you wrote, so I'm just gonna let you roll on this next one about the Soccer Wars 2 patch 2.0.
Soccer Wars. I like soccer.
Soccer Wars. And all the soccer moms came out and warred against each other. No, just kidding.
Down. All right, so So as we're really coming from the 2019 mega release of the Soccer Wars first patch that we even did a video on back in 19, the team have finally released the patch 2.0, or which is known as the final version of the patch from Soccer Wars. So Noah Steen posted a couple days ago that the final patch for it, basically they just had made a little trailer on there of the update for everything, so you could check that out on his page. Some of the changes that they made include better lip syncing, fixing some sprites fixing sprite glitches, new battle maps, script polishing, translation of the menus in theater mode, Koi Koi tournament patched, fixed the colors in the loading screen for battles, and many, many, many more fixes that really make the game pristine. So this is going to be apparently the final patch, so wink, wink, Dave, wink, wink.
Oh, right, right.
Wink, wink.
Yeah, you know.
I know we were waiting on that. Yeah. We're still waiting on the final patch for Grandia, though. But I think a lot of these patches are sort of starting to sort of roll out and finalize.
Yeah, they're wrapping up for sure.
Yeah, and I want to definitely take a moment to give the team a big thank you for putting this game together. Yeah, final. It's final until they find glitches. So, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's a. I mean, it's sort of the finalized version of it, unless they find something major, I suppose.
Yeah.
But essentially, I just want to thank the entire team that worked on it. We have talked to them in the past and done a podcast episode on it, and of course our video down in the article itself that we talked about the release of it back in 19. I remember that was a crazy release because we got notification, what, a week before or a couple days?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, this is dropping. Here's the thing: I captured the footage, and I stayed up all night because I was going to a Christmas party for that entire weekend. So I edited like the night, and I stayed up like for 20 hours editing it.
You did a great job on that video too. And yeah. Man, 2019 was like Sam said, it was like the year of Saturn. That was really the year. That was really a big year for Saturn. That's when a lot of community projects got kicked off. 2018 was exciting too. There was a lot going on. There was a lot going to happen, but yeah, 2019 is when a lot of stuff started happening, and just, you know, ever since then, it's just been, you know, giant snowball.
Exactly. We've gotten so many translations in these last couple of years, especially 2020 for obvious reasons, but yeah, I'm definitely happy the year the Saturn happened in 2019 and not the year after that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though there's still a lot that came out in 2020, and we really thank everybody that worked so hard on that, and stuff that's still coming out in 2021.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing about 2020, though, was that a lot of folks had time to do stuff, time to work on projects, or they were just home, you know, so they could, you know, pretend like they were working when they were really actually working on Saturn projects. But, exactly. You know, their boss doesn't know. They don't know what they don't know won't hurt them. But anyway, we got we got Soccer Wars columns out of it. Right. Right. Am I right, or am I right, Derek?
No, we got Taxi 2 and Soccer columns.
That's right. Yeah. And we got God, we got so many other things, like the Valhalla game. We got the Vandal Hearts game. We got a ton of stuff.
We got the Lunar Silver Star story. Not only the sub patch, but the dub patch as well, and the VCD card version of it as well. So we got a ton last year. It was a metric ton.
There's that garbage truck just making a ton of noise. Yeah, 2021, hopefully that's going to be the year of Bulk Slash and the year of Death Mask and the year of, I don't know, whatever have you.
Definitely, you know, I know it's not translation related, but it's the year of cotton this year for sure.
Yeah.
Like, there's like cotton in three games.
Yeah,
I didn't bring it up. I'm going to write an article about it, and we'll talk about it more in depth, but getting a new cotton game, and we got the Saturn ports, and then of course the reboot. Yeah. So I'm very excited that we're getting lots of Saturn. I remember that you posted about that in 19 or something.
Yes.
I was getting my oil change and I saw that.
It was a team meeting or something like that. And it literally was just a tiny little card on a whiteboard that within the company that somebody like snapped a shot and put it up on their Twitter and folks went crazy. They were like, what? They're going to do a new cotton project. And then, yeah, you know, now, finally, you know, we're starting to hear about it. We're seeing pictures. Hopefully they, you know, I'm hoping they clean it up a little bit. Hope they work on it a little bit more. I admit that in still shots, it kind of, you know, I don't want to say the jury's out on it, but, you know, I'm just hoping like that they spruce up the artwork and that it looks good in motion. As long as it looks good in motion and the gameplay is solid, I think nobody's going to be upset. But that's one of those things, you know, the art, even with like Panzer Dragoon remake and stuff like that, artwork is often, you know, the spirit of the game, you know, especially with a game like Cotton, where it's just so intrinsic to the game. Like it's identity, the art style, the hand-drawn stuff. It's hard to do when you convert it to 3D, but, you know, that's the challenge. You know, hopefully they can distill that essence, you know, and still have it be reminiscent of the original. Yeah, and while we're talking go ahead.
He reminded me, Cotton 2 also came out last year. I completely forgot about that translation.
That's true. Well, yeah, it's hard to think about all of them when you're on the spot, because a lot of them did come out. But, you know, I just wanted to say, while we're still talking about translations, that even though I don't have an update article for folks on Death Mask, I do just want to give huge shouts to Kay, A Murder of Crows again, and to Knight of Dragon, who I see just and Shadow Mask as well, who joined
the guy on the project.
Yeah, he joined the project like 2 weeks ago, and he's just been working feverishly, editing videos, de-hissing audio. They've been building new images. Knight of Dragon has been working on his patcher and uploading new betas on that. It's just like those guys are working really hard, and I know Knight of Dragon is like, oh, I don't deserve any of the, you know, but, you know, he totally does. And you guys are all awesome, and thank you so much for taking that project seriously, but not only that, just like running with it and really making it a reality. Like, I couldn't believe that how quick you guys were you know, with that project, and it's really coming together. They're doing a lot of cool stuff. I was reading the change log just on the things that they're testing out. They're building some experimental builds to try to, you know, see if they can make it the best game that they possibly can. And that's, you know, Kay, he certainly is like a perfectionist. I know he would admit to that. And so, you know, he won't stop until it's just like as good as it possibly can be. So thank you guys for that.
Yeah, thank you very much. I wish I could talk more about the project I'm working on, but it's still kind of hush-hush for now.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get into it, but I'm really proud of it and the people that are working on it, and I'm excited to see it come to fruition, and I can talk more about it. But for now, it's going to be
Yes. But I'm excited too about that as well. So as soon as you're able to say something, I'm sure you'll write a nice article for the website so that we can so that you can drop it on the world.
Oh boy, certainly will.
And yes, Patcher is done. Nice. Yeah, so Knight of Dragon, and he put that up, I guess, on Sega Extreme, and it's available in the... Is that available just on Sega Extreme, or is it in, like, the patch channel on Discord? I don't know. Anyway, you guys can find it. Just go to Knight of Dragon's his page on Sega Extreme, and then just look at all of his projects, and you can see it there. Awesome, awesome. It just gets better and better.
Send a message on Discord directly. He likes that.
Yeah, he's like probably one of the most like available.
Yeah, he likes it when people message him, especially if they advertise stuff. So
oh yeah,
don't
yeah.
Do that.
Be sure if you're spamming, if you're advertising something, be sure to at Knight of Dragon, you know, so that he knows about it, because he doesn't want to miss that stuff.
He loves being into the scene.
He wants to keep abreast of all of the most juicy topics. Anyway, okay, so
exactly.
Next, and I'm totally kidding about that last part. Do not, you'll get your head ripped off. Fenrir ODE to stream games over Wi-Fi. I think this was kind of like obvious. We knew this was coming. I mean, how could it not?
I mean, it still hit me like a truck, though.
It still hits you like a truck because it's incredibly exciting. This is what I want out of like every ODE. This is literally what I want. I just want to be able to download games to my network storage. And I'll keep them. I have like terabytes, so I'll just have them unzipped, you know, on my network storage and just be able to stream stuff from there, just like I would movies, you know, with Plex or whatever, you know. So it's so awesome that that this is, you know, the ESP32 is super powerful, a super powerful microcontroller. It's got that onboard Wi-Fi module, and it's really just been a matter of time for him to update the firmware and get that working, you know. So not only do developers have the ability to just shoot code over to the darn thing to test builds, you know, just like that, which is going to be a huge quality of life improvement for developers. But then you've also got the ability now to stream games, you know. So, I mean, I can't imagine how useful that's going to be. So
incredibly, incredibly yeah. useful.
Yeah, and even I was thinking, like, okay, on one hand, the thought was that you would, from your computer over Wi-Fi, you would shoot new code to the SD card, right? But now it's like you might not even have to do that. You might just have a build in a place on your hard drive, and you just fire up the Saturn and you stream it from there, you know. So it's like you don't even have to send the updates. So I don't know. Anyway, it's going to be super useful.
That's insanely cool.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, imagine a situation where you can just like the Wii, where you just have a network storage, like put on a NAS.
Yes.
And that's... just like have an entire Saturn directory with, like, on your hard drive, it's like hundreds of gigabytes, and just shoot it directly to the Saturn over the network. Takes a little bit to load, probably, but I mean that's
this...
still amazing.
So I'm gonna play this video just so you guys can see. So there's the boot up. No SD card.
The classic magician trick.
And Sega screen, and then Capcom logo, or the video intro. I mean, it's pretty fast. There's not enough memory, I would imagine, that it's loading the game on. It's actually streaming data. But like I said, that ESP32 is so powerful, it's able to help control that process, and help handle that data stream. So, pretty cool. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. Why did they hide his message? But I'm really excited for that, because I think something like that would be super useful. And like I said, it's reminiscent of the Xbox and the... I think you did that with the Wii, right?
Some emulators, not the virtual console, okay, but like some of the aftermarket emulators for Wii that you can get on the WiiBrew channel or whatever, a lot of those aftermarket emulators, especially the SNES 9X, has support for SMB share, you know, so you can literally just map out where you want it to grab all the ROMs from, and you can keep them zipped too, and it will boot up, you know, all the ROMs over the network. So like that's how I've been playing quite a few of the different like emulators on the Wii. And then of course the same thing goes for, I think Wii U had the same deal. I just don't have a Wii U right now anymore, so unfortunately. But
doing yourself a favor.
Yeah, well, don't say that in front of Cameron, because he's like a huge Cameron Graziano is like a huge Wii U fan, I know.
But,
and I think I think Kay, A Murder of Crows, is a big Wii U fan too. But I don't hold
that
against
some solid stuff. I mean, I'm kind of hypocritical, because I have my Wii set up on my Wii U set up in the living room, but mostly so I can play Wii games in HD.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just something that it makes life so much easier, and you know, that's what I would like to do, instead of having to like constantly pull the SD card out. In fact, with the Satiator, we're using Satiator to constantly test out stuff and do stuff for the Shiro show. So the main drag and my main I'm apprehensive about the fact that my putting in and pulling out the SD card so many times to be able to write new information to it is going to wear out not only the spring, but it's also going to just wear out the contacts. And I must say I'm a little concerned about that, but it can't be avoided because of what we do. Like, we're always testing new stuff, and every new Shiro show, we've got something new that we're trying to stream or trying to show off. So, it just is what it is. If I wear out my Satiator, it won't be the first problem I have with my Satiator.
Are you worried about the connection between the Saturn to the Satiator to the Saturn, or the SD card to the Satiator?
So right now I'm not touching the Satiator itself. I know you mentioned you were worried about that as well, just because they didn't taper the edge connector, but no, yeah. I've left it where it is. I'm more concerned about just putting in and pulling out the SD card so many times that I'm going to either wear out the contacts or wear out the spring mechanism that's there to like help eject it, you know?
Well, what you could do is you could just pull out the micro SD card and slide in there.
But I'm like reaching back behind. I have my Saturn in a setup where I can't actually see the back. Yeah. You know, I'm just like reaching my hand back there and like pushing it to eject, and I pull it out and, you know, do what I have to do and then pop it back on. But anyway, yeah, no, I mean, this Wi-Fi thing is just really making me want a Fenrir. No joke. Not to mention,
I'm gonna get a hold of it eventually.
You should. I would love it if you did and did like a real in-depth review of it, because then, I mean, then we could even do like a shootout, you know, because you'd own all of them. You have a Rhea, you have a Mode, you have the Satiator, you'd have the Fenrir, and then you really could do like a four-way shootout. That would be a cool article. I don't think anybody's actually done that, like four-way comparison.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue I have right now is I don't own another Saturn to put a Fenrir in, so maybe I might hit up Peter and see if I could borrow.
Oh yeah,
I could borrow one or buy one off of him so I can test it, because I kind of
he'd probably actually, be like maybe two. As long as you leave it in there, it's like leave it in there when you give it back.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
But I kind of like, if I had two more, I think it'd be perfect, because I'd have each of them ready to go. I'd have one with a Mode in it, one with a Fenrir in it, one with a Satiator in the disk drive, and one with the Rhea. Of course, I wouldn't have a Phoebe, but it's the same thing, I guess, so I'm not really too concerned of my testing.
You know, Shadow Mask is saying he uses the USB port on the Satiator, and even though it's slow, what is that, like USB 1 speed? Or I don't know, but he says it's slow, but it works, and now I'm actually thinking, why don't I do that? I could just leave a USB cable kind of like plugged in there. I would tape it down somewhere so that there's no pressure being put on the port, but then I could just have it streaming down to my laptop and just... That's a good idea. I didn't even think to do that.
Just get a long micro SD port.
Shadow Mask, micro SD card. Let me know what the speed on that is. I mean, you said it was not that fast, but... He straight up says it's slow. Anyway, let me know what the speed is, though. Anyway... Yeah, we've got a little bit of time. I think we should just wrap and get over into the game stream. But yeah, so exciting. Oh, you know what? I forgot to revise this article and let folks know that... Let me click on Sed's thing. He just announced that the 21 pin would be back in stock like next week, I think. And then it's like, I imagine it's going to be out of stock really quick. So for folks that didn't get the first batch, it will be available Saturday, 26th of June at 1900 Paris time.
11 o'clock.
He said 1900 Paris time. Okay. Sunday, the 27th June. So if you're wanting a 21 pin Fenrir, it'll be available on Saturday the 26th, tomorrow. So yeah, keep an eye out and grab one while you can, because I imagine they'll probably go out of stock and then it'll be a little while till he's able to. But hey, you know, that's awesome. At least, you know, they're getting restocked, you know, pretty frequently. And the same for Satiator too. I know they were out for a while, but you know, he was able to restock fairly quickly and everybody was able to get one.
Isn't it crazy how far we come to where we're fighting over the Rhea and the Phoebe, and now we can just easily get...
Yeah, now we have to decide which one we want to go with, you know? That's the thing. It used to be like you'd take whatever you could get. Now it's like, which one do I go with? And I mean, even a lot can be said for the Rhea and the Phoebe still, you know, that they are rock solid in compatibility, and lots of folks still using those. So, you know, I know Kay is still using his quite extensively, so...
Yeah, I still use mine too. It's in my kiosk now, so it has a new little home for all the times I want to have some party games if people come over.
Yeah, for me it wasn't to be. I tried getting one. I had an opportunity and I passed on it. It was the same time you got yours. I had an opportunity and I just didn't have the cash. And it's like a month later I had the cash and not the opportunity. And then after that I kept looking and I just never. I never synced up to the time when they were available, so you know it wasn't to be, you know. And then I got the Mode, and then I got the Satiator, and now I want a Fenrir because of the Wi-Fi module.
Yeah, and the cool thing a lot of people don't realize is that with the Fenrir, there's no, all it is an update. It's not like you have to buy a new revision. All you have to do is, even if you have the older ones, just update it and it's good to go.
So the old 20 pins still had that microcontroller on there, the revised ones?
I believe so.
Yeah, it was there. It's like it was there from the beginning. He always kind of planned on implementing it. It was really just a matter of writing the code and getting it all working. To actually implement, because that microcontroller has built-in Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, actually. So, I mean, he could even implement Bluetooth in a future update. So there's a lot going for it, actually. I can even click on it here. This is the site. We can read up more on the ESP32. And
it's kind of funny. We always considered it... we always considered it to be the smallest and the most really underused and sort of like the smaller ODE, but now it's like up there with the mode. Like I'd have to say, if I had to pick mode over Fenrir, I'd probably have to go with the Fenrir
for Saturn for sure. Yeah. Now, no question. I mean, and I think that's the thing, is you just don't really need it to be that big. I think it's that big. I think mode is that big because they wanted it to just kind of clamp down into the Dreamcast. To me, just mode just seems like it was really designed for Dreamcast number one primarily, and then Saturn is like it can do it, and I mean it still works. It fits in there pretty nice and still works, but it just seems like it was meant for the Dreamcast. You know, the way that the connector is just soldered there on the board and you just plug it in. It's so simple. The mode was really made for the Dreamcast, and then this right here is super easy to use for the Saturn. So it's probably the same amount of, you know, if you could install a mode, you could install a Fenrir for sure, you know?
Yeah, it's fairly simple. It's very easy to do, and I really like it. I think the only caveat is that the Fenrir uses microSD only compared to the mode that uses the SSD, but with the Wi-Fi module, I don't think it's going to matter anymore.
Right, right. And I mean, honestly, regular SD is kind of going to disappear, you know, over the next few years. Micro SD, just because so devices, especially IoT devices and everything, are just getting smaller and smaller. And so, you know, Apple kind of leads the way there, you know, getting rid of ports and trying to like slim things down. It just doesn't seem like many laptops and many devices will have like full size SD card slots. Because it's even hard to find high capacity SD cards that aren't just like micro SD cards in a shell, you know? So that's the thing, you know?
Yeah, it's a bit of a sadness, really.
But it's not that sad. I mean, it's not like boohoo sad.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe it's not that much of sadness, I guess. But I do think it's nice to have a big terabyte hard drive. But, like I said, I think the future is going to be having a big terabyte hard drive in your computer and just shooting it over to your Saturn.
Yeah. I mean, frankly, I only have a 1 terabyte hard drive in my mode for my Dreamcast, and I have every game that I want to play in there, and I haven't scratched the surface of that. I mean, I haven't put a dent.
Yeah, I think I have about 300 gigs left in it, like all the games I want to play on there, so I have plenty of room for more indie games, so that's mostly what it's for, and that's really all I'm adding to it. It's more the indie games I'm buying. So
and you got all the Atomos Wave stuff on there?
Yep, all the Atomos Wave, all the indie games I buy. So like I know I have Battle Crust on there. I have Pure Solar. I have Stormwind. Whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And of course now Xenocider and Xenocrisis. So
nice.
Yeah, I would recommend picking those up if you haven't. But the Fenrir is better than ever, and I think if you have been sleeping on it, I think maybe it's about time that you woke up and picked one up, because right now I think it's the cheapest and the most innovative one out there at this moment.
And the compatibility I've heard from everyone who counts in my book, all the guys that are like into it on the developer side swear by it. They say compatibility is high. It's always getting better. He's constantly, you know, issuing new firmware updates. He's on top of it. You know, he's on top of restocking and he's on top of the firmware updates. And I mean, with this, it just, you know, so it just proves that you have peace of mind knowing that you're going to be covered. You know, you're not going to be stuck with a device that, that ceases to have compatibility or ceases to have support. But the one thing is, you know, be sure to grab one now, and hopefully, you know, don't be going on any kind of, you know, foreign Eastern website to try to get one that's like a clone or something. I'm really against that. I'm really against them, you know, people out there just stealing board designs, you know, they get a hold of it for one reason or another. Maybe they're a parts supplier or something like that. They get a hold of the blueprint, or not blueprint, they get a hold of the board. And I can't think of the word right now, but anyway, yeah. So they get a hold of it and then they make a clone. And I hate that, you know, because that really undercuts what these guys are doing, you know?
I think the word's bootlegging it.
Bootlegging it, yeah, essentially. So buy from Seth, because he seems like a cool guy, all about, you know, giving the Saturn community what they want, you know, which is an awesome ODE that's going to, like, do everything for you, except for get you dressed in the morning.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
You have to do that.
But yeah, for, like, was it $100 or less than $100? I mean, it's worth every penny of it.
Yeah, actually,
because, I mean, you can't even get like a decent Saturday game for $100 anymore.
I want to check that. Let's see, Fenris shop. I linked it here, and we'll go English. Let's see. So €100.
Oh yeah,
taxes included. Taxes included. So I mean, it's like you can't. So this is going to be available tomorrow. You guys got to jump on this if you. Now I don't know what shipping is going to be. I haven't bought one yet, so I can't speak to that. But anyway, I mean, you know, it's might take a while to get to you. I don't know with everything that's going on in the world still, but you know, it'll be worth it. So anyway, we ought to wrap this segment and move on over to the game stream and then unmute everybody so that folks can get in here and chat with us.
Yep. Well, I guess I'll wrap it up. So thank you guys for watching, listening on the podcast. If you like our content, like and subscribe. If you're on iTunes.
Yes.
Please. Give us 5 stars and reviews, and all reviews are important because they really branch us out and let us get more viewers and get more people into us and understand what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So definitely, if you could give us 5 stars or any rating on iTunes and leave a review, would be great. But yeah, and then on YouTube, of course, like, subscribe, ring the bell, whatever the YouTubers say to get people to like their stuff. Mm-hmm. You know how it goes. So.
And be a part. Yeah. Come be a part of our. Come be a part of it. Don't just be a lurker, or you don't have to just consume. You can actually join our Discord and get involved in a project if you want, or just like be involved in posting and talking. The discourse is great, and we would love you guys to just be a part of our Saturn family. That's what we want.
And if you want to become a part of the show, you can always submit articles and stuff. I know we actually have a guest article coming up recently by somebody that.
Yes,
by something important. So mm-hmm. That's coming up, and we have another one that's being written soon. So yeah, if you want to submit an article you'd like to talk about, let us know. We can look over it, talk with you about it, and get something going.
Okay, reach out. He wants a virtual fist bump.
All right,
give me a virtual. Sure, the other way. Oh, there you go. Right. Boom. Right. You can't. I'm not gonna. If I take down the web page, then there we're like go. Cut off. Virtual fist bump. That's funny.
My hand disappeared.
Yeah, your hand disappeared. Well, yeah, if I take away some of that, what's hidden, it'll just go off of your green screen and it'll be like your window or something like that.
My arm is missing when I do this. So see, it's
there. Boom. All right. Yeah. See you guys later. We'll catch you on the streaming side.